You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class here at KGYM on this Wednesday. College hoops is back, America. You're welcome. Great to see it, even in an unusual setting, but that's where we are here as far as 2020 is concerned. Great to have you aboard. Scott Udash from our studios here on the southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We'll keep you updated on what's happening at Iowa City, at Carver, as Iowa and North Carolina Central have just tipped off, literally, from Iowa City. And Illinois got that slim victory over actually a pretty decent North Carolina A&T team. Just got that in the record books, 122-60. I believe they covered, and now we get ready for Iowa in North Carolina Central. Good afternoon, Mark.
Yeah, it's just a ton of games today. Some, of course, called off, but the ones that are being played, a lot of blowouts, but not in Manhattan, Kansas.
No.
Drake coming away with a 80-70 victory over Kansas State, and not a highly thought of Kansas State team, but still you go on the road against the Big 12 team. Darian DeVries, his team looked good today, Scott.
They did, and they played without one of their players who was going to be in the rotation, who decided at the last minute to opt out this year. 5-point scorer, I cannot recall who it was, but that was announced before the ball game. But yeah, K-State is not going to be gangbusters this year in the Big 12. In fact, most people have picked them to finish last in the Big 12 conference. And Drake went in there and beat them. A good win for the Missouri Valley, especially after Illinois State went to Ohio State today and spotted the Buckeyes 22 before they got going. We're down 22-0 as far as that particular ball game is concerned. And Ohio State won comfortably. There have been a few postponements as far as the Big Ten is concerned. And looking at that, I know the Northwestern game scheduled for later on has been postponed. That one will not be played. That was set to be Northwestern. Well, as soon as I find it, I will actually not to be played today. But the first Northwestern game is not going to be played. Also not going to be played, Drexel and Penn State. That game has been postponed due to COVID things. So not everybody getting underway, but most of the country getting underway today.
Yeah, Northern Iowa getting started in about a half an hour against Western Kentucky, a highly regarded Northern Iowa team. That would be an interesting game as well. North Carolina Central off to a 6-2 lead over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Don't get too excited about that.
Yes, because North Carolina A&T was on top of Illinois 4-3 early on before it got to 122-60 at the end. We'll keep you updated on the Hawkeyes. Thank you very much. If you want to tune in, mute things, and listen to us, and communicate with us via the text line, 319-366-1600. Appreciate you doing that here today as we take you through the pre-Thanksgiving edition of the program. A lot to get to, some college basketball, NFL news, the game tomorrow night, the back half of the triple header between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That has been postponed until Sunday. That game has been moved due to a COVID situation as far as the Ravens are concerned. And so that game will now be moved to Sunday, so it'll be a doubleheader tomorrow instead, right here on KGYM, starting at 11 o'clock. It'll be Detroit hosting Houston, and Washington, the football team, will take on the Dallas Cowboys in that colossal fight for first place in the NFC East. Buttons, you can hear both games right here on KGYM. He's just shaking his head left to right, nodding that head right now. Buttons is Somebody's going to win. Well, unless there's a tie between Washington and Dallas. Buttons may be calling a tie as we speak. 319-366-1600. UNI is going to be in action within the next half hour or so. We'll keep you abreast of that game as well here today. But we've got the Hawkeyes underway. Most of the Big Ten getting underway. Most of college basketball getting underway. As far as the Big Ten is concerned, Mark, the Illinois Fighting Illini, with their 122-60 pasting of North Carolina A&T, everyone knew the Illini were going to be very, very good this year. I'm not so sure we may have even underestimated the Fighting Illini of Illinois a little bit because they brought in shooters this year, Brad Underwood did. They've had DeSumo. They've had Coburn. Coburn on the inside. DeSumo slashing. He has worked on his jumper, showed today. But then they brought in some shooters, and this Illinois team was really, really impressive this afternoon.
Yeah, very impressive, and it's a very athletic team, and I think it's going to be right there with Iowa, Wisconsin, maybe a couple others fighting for the Big Ten championship. And I saw Seth Greenberg earlier today at Wisconsin in his Final Four. I kind of scratched my head about that. And after watching Illinois, Illinois, very good basketball team.
They are. Looked very, very good today. Even Fred Hoiberg's Nebraska Cornhuskers looked very good. They got some shooters that they brought in. Freddie did. And they took care of McNeese State. Again, not a world beater, but usually a decent program anyway. And Nebraska hung a 100 burger on those guys a little bit earlier on today over in Lincoln. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk Iowa State football coming up in just a little bit. In about 10 minutes or so, Ben Visser will join us, who covers the Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Iowa State, Texas coming up on Friday. And that will be an 11 o'clock kickoff. We'll have it for you beginning at 9 o'clock with the pregame on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Before the boom, the Hawkeye pregame show will air at 10 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM before Iowa and Nebraska will go at it at 12 noon. So we'll talk with Ben Visser, and then Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will join us coming up, and we will get your fantasy football questions answered for Chris coming up in just a little bit. If you'd like to comment on college basketball, love to hear from you out there at 319-366-1600 has the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. Another team that looked good today was Memphis, Mark. Memphis looked very good in their win against St. Mary's, and a chance that the Northern Iowa Panthers may face Memphis coming up.
Well, that would be very entertaining. I didn't catch much of the Memphis game because I was watching Drake, Kansas State, and Illinois, and a couple others. But Memphis, not surprisingly, is going to be a very good basketball team.
Yeah, a lot of good talent and young talent as far as that particular unit is concerned. And, yeah, it's great to have college basketball back with us. Great to have that. Last night after we left the program, a couple of college football stories broke. First of all, in the Big Ten, you had the story of Michigan and Wisconsin, as that game has now, or no, I beg your pardon, Minnesota and Wisconsin. That game has been canceled. It will be a no contest. And with that, there go the Big Ten Western Division title hopes of the Wisconsin Badgers, as they will not play enough games to qualify to get to Indianapolis, even if they somehow leapfrogged Northwestern and found a way to qualify for that particular ball game. Big Ten right now, that gush of wind you heard coming from the East is the Big Ten offices exhaling that Northwestern held off Wisconsin up in Chicago last week.
Yeah, this is so unfortunate for Wisconsin. Going to be very competitive for the division title. And I don't think it's not, you know, groundbreaking to say the Big Ten screwed this up by not building in bye weeks during the football season to play 8 straight games and expect everybody to get through that. That was very unrealistic. And now Wisconsin is the first team to pay the price. And again, so unfortunate for the Badgers. Just announced Oklahoma and West Virginia game set for Saturday is also postponed. Oklahoma pausing team activities. So you knew this wouldn't be perfect in the Big Ten. Folks thought with the testing and whatnot, it would be better. But without any bye weeks, it just begged trouble.
Yeah, it did. And that is big, that Oklahoma-West Virginia game not being played. Just due to the fact that, you know, Oklahoma is going to be a prohibitive favorite in that game. There's no doubt. But, you know, West Virginia has the capability that they could pull off an upset. Not saying it's going to happen, but they could pull off some sort of an upset. And Oklahoma already with two losses. I mean, this is big as far as Iowa State is concerned for their game on Friday.
No question about it. And although Iowa State has a tiebreaker over Oklahoma, that is to Iowa State's advantage. Only if it takes care of business against Texas. And we'll get to that coming up soon with Ben Visser.
Yep, we'll talk with Ben about that coming up on the program. Iowa has their first lead, by the way. It's 12-10. Hawkeyes out in front of North Carolina Central, a North Carolina Central team that, Iowa should take care of pretty handily, no doubt about that. But they, along with North Carolina A&T, expected to be right up there as far as the MEAC is concerned. So we'll see how it all plays out. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. The other college basketball news from last night, first college football playoff poll rolling out with Gary Barta and his committee. And some very interesting things. Not a whole lot to write home about. But good to see Iowa and Iowa State both in the top 25, although a little bit of consternation among the Cyclone Nation due to the fact that Iowa State behind Oklahoma, even though Iowa State won the head-to-head matchup with the Sooners. Iowa State in at number 13. Texas, their opponent on Friday, is in at number 17, and the Hawkeyes appear in the first playoff poll at number 24.
Well, this is like the first AP poll in August. To me, it doesn't matter. Who cares? You know, Iowa at 24, it's not going to get to the college football playoffs. Iowa State, you know, it's not going to get to the college football playoffs. It's going to be Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, maybe Florida, maybe A&M. You know, what happens with Cincinnati? What happens with BYU, two very good football teams that are going to be on the outside looking in? It's still going to be four teams, and I'd be surprised if it isn't the top four as it stands right now. Again, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State.
Cincinnati, by the way, their game has been postponed. I'm not sure if it's canceled or postponed for Saturday. They were scheduled to take on Temple. So I don't know if that's good or bad for the Bearcats, but we'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, we got any number of games that are not going to be played, not only in college basketball, but also in college football, that has started right away. 319-366-1600, as we're going to talk to Ben Visser coming up in just a couple of minutes. And again, we'll keep you updated on what's happening down in Iowa City as the Hawkeyes and North Carolina Central are going at it right now. Want to remind you, as far as KGYM is concerned, you can be a part of KGYM's community MVP. It is sponsored by Fairfax State Savings Bank. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. If it is still up and going, please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event. And if selected, it'll be featured online and on the air. Go to KGYMradio.com for more information on that. We'll take a break. 318, Ben Visser joins us. We'll talk Iowa State and Texas when we return after this here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Make plans now to visit Tannenbaum Forest in Amana.
Wander through 40 sparkling trees decorated by local businesses, organizations, and nonprofit groups. This four-week festival features a different theme each week, beginning the day after Thanksgiving.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Not many places can say this, but at Fairfax State Savings Bank, it's the 20s again. They welcomed their first customer way back in 1924. Things were a little different then, like cars and how much you could buy with a shiny new nickel. But since that first day, one thing hasn't changed. It's the way Fairfax State Savings Bank has proudly helped this community survive and thrive. They are the bank here. Stop in or visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Keeping cozy inside with a beautiful view of the outside is exactly what you need this winter. And Alexander Lumber has just the right windows from WeatherShield. With a unique ability to combine stunning style with energy efficiency, WeatherShield is creativity expressed in smart design. Alexander Lumber is excited to welcome the full line of WeatherShield windows to the family. See them today at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we are back, 3:20 here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. I'm all messed up as far as the days are concerned. Wednesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM. As we get ready for Thanksgiving Day football coming up tomorrow, only a doubleheader. The Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, in case you're joining us late, that has been moved to Sunday due to COVID concerns in the ranks of the Baltimore Ravens. Cleveland also had to close their facility today, and they are hoping, keeping their fingers crossed as far as everything for this weekend is concerned, but it'll be a doubleheader tomorrow. It'll be Detroit hosting Houston, followed by Washington and Dallas. Getting underway at 11 o'clock. All of our stations bringing that to you tomorrow right here on KGYM. On Friday, it'll be the ultra-important game between the Iowa State Cyclones and the Texas Longhorns from down at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium in Austin. Ben Visser covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter. And Ben, we've been kicking this around, getting a lot of people's attention. First of all, happy pre-Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. You guys as well.
We've been kicking this around with our listeners over the last, throughout the week here. Is this is this the biggest game for Iowa State in X number of years? Is it the biggest, I don't know, is it the biggest since when, in your opinion?
What a great question. I think, in my opinion, and I mean, I'm not that old, so I don't know how much weight my opinion carries in terms of historical stuff. But from what I understand, in my opinion, I think this is the biggest regular season game probably in Iowa State history. When you start talking about bowl games and stuff like that, you could argue some of those games are bigger. Some of those games are more important. Like when Dan McCarney won Iowa State's first bowl, that's probably a more important game. But in terms of regular season, I'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger one than this. I mean, a win, and then if you win at West Virginia, Iowa State is the number one team in the Big 12 in the regular season, and that's never happened. I mean, Iowa State's only won a conference title one time, and it had to share it, and that was back in the really early 1900s. So I really think this is probably the biggest game in Iowa State regular season history.
Ben, very complete victory against depleted Kansas State team last week. What impressed you the most about the Cyclones on Saturday?
They never let up. I think in times past, you might see a team, an Iowa State team, sort of let off the gas and let Kansas State score a touchdown in the second half, or you just might throttle down a little bit. But they didn't keep the pedal to the metal or anything. It was just steady, good football. It wasn't anything dynamic they did. That Iowa State did nothing special against Kansas State. It was just really good, solid, complete football. And they did it for four quarters, which Matt Campbell has preached about since he's gotten to Iowa State. And I feel like for the first time it actually happened against a quality opponent. I mean, to go back to last year against Louisiana Monroe, sure, Iowa State had a game similar to that where they dominated all four quarters. But, I mean, Kansas State's a Big 12 team with a winning record in conference, and they're good. They're a quality football team. Yeah, they had their COVID problems, but still a quality football team. And Iowa State, it wasn't anything fancy. They just played really good football, and that was, I think, the most impressive part of that win.
Was that Iowa State's best performance of the year? I think it was.
I agree 100%. I thought it was. I thought it was one of the best performances they've had in probably Matt Campbell's tenure. I mean, maybe you can go back to Texas Tech his first year when they clobbered Patrick Mahomes. But besides that game, I can't think of maybe another one where they did what they did against Kansas State. So, yeah, I think that was probably the best game they've played in a long, long time, and I think definitely this year.
Texas, of course, been very much in the mix in the Big 12 and really needs this as much as Iowa State does. Veteran quarterback and Sam Ehlinger, what concerns Matt Campbell the most about this team after, you know, it had a week off because they didn't play that game against Kansas?
Yeah, Texas had 2 weeks off. By the time they play Iowa State, they'll have gone 20 days without playing a football game.
Yeah,
they had a bye week, and then they had the cancellation due to COVID or postponement due to COVID against Kansas. So they're going to be – when we talked to Tom Herman during the teleconference on Monday, he was quite concerned about the rust that they might have, that maybe it's going to take a quarter to knock some of that rust off since it's been so long since they've played a game. So that's one concern for Texas. Yeah, you mentioned Sam Ehlinger. He's the engine that makes that thing run. He leads the team in rushing. He's obviously a very prolific passer. I think he's passed for 22 touchdowns this year. He's got a good core of receivers around him. So he's the engine that makes that thing go. And then defensively, they have some really, really good pieces. They might have, now Matt Campbell would argue with me, but they might have the best linebacker in the conference in Joseph Asai. I think Matt Campbell would argue Mike Rose is probably the best linebacker, but Joseph Asai, he leads Texas in tackles for loss, sacks. He's gotten some pass breakups. He's forced three fumbles, I think. So, I mean, that guy is an absolute monster there for Texas. And then what Matt Campbell has said is, I mean, when you look at Texas, you just see the raw like size and strength and speed of them. I mean, Texas might not have, they might not be the Texas of old, but they're still recruiting 4- and 5-star guys, and they still look like 4- and 5-star guys. Now, whether or not Tom Herman can get them to come together and compete as a team, that's another story, but individual players on Texas are very, very impressive.
Talking with Ben Visser, covers the Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We have talked, I think, about 5 minutes, and we have not mentioned Breece Hall as of yet.
Yeah.
Shame on us.
I know.
He's so much fun to watch. The line should get a lot of credit, and I really believe Breece Hall is the best player in the country that a lot of people don't know about.
I 100% agree. He's just starting. If you look at the Athletics, if you look at their straw poll for Heisman voting that they're starting to do, he's just starting to get into that 4 or 5 range. If you go on ESPN, when they put their graphic up every Saturday, he's maybe half the time starting to slide in there. But when you look at past Heisman winners through 8 games, Breece Hall stacks up right there with the likes of Reggie Bush and Derrick Henry and guys like that. So through 8 games, Breece Hall has put together as good of a season as anybody ever has in college football. He's just been absolutely electric. It's interesting to me because, like, yeah, he has those big 75-yard runs and 60-yard runs every now and again. But it's kind of like I compare it a little bit to the Kansas State game that Iowa State just played. He doesn't do anything fancy. Like, when you watch David Montgomery run, he'd make 5 guys miss and break 3 tackles. And it was really impressive to watch him run 10 yards. Breece Hall makes 1 cut and he runs straight. And he doesn't do anything fancy. It's just good, hard football. He'll slip a tackle, he'll juke a guy, but it's not anything spectacular that when you watch him. It's just, he gets 8 yards, and then he gets 10 yards, and then he breaks off a 30-yard run. And the next thing you know, he has 100 yards by halftime. It's just, it's a quiet 100 yards. Maybe that's the reason he doesn't get the attention, because his highlights aren't spectacular. I mean, yeah, he runs for the 60 yards, but even those 60-yard runs, it's, like you mentioned, a good hole that the offensive line opened up, and he runs through it. So not to take anything at all away from Breece. He's obviously a dynamic running back. I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But it's just how easily it comes to him, it looks like.
Ben, thanks for correcting me, by the way, on the amount of time Texas has had off. I'd forgotten about that bye week. And the more I think about it, maybe that, at least early on, may come into play in this game.
No, yeah, I think it will. Like I said earlier, Tom Herman is concerned about that. It's now, on the other flip side of that, Oklahoma State had to go through the same thing right before Iowa State played them. They had a bye week, and then I forget who they're supposed to play, but whoever they're supposed to play had COVID problems. So they had another, two bye weeks in a row, essentially. And when they came out against Iowa State, they looked ready and prepared. I mean, Oklahoma State from the gun looked like a team that was set to win that game, and they obviously did. So maybe Tom Herman's stressing of, hey, we got to come out. We can't look rusty. We got to start fast against a quality Iowa State team. Maybe that rings true for his team and they're able to come out and play well. But no, I think it's definitely a concern that he's thinking about and talking about with his team.
This Iowa State defense throwing a shutout in the Big 12, you know, that rings true around the country because of the, you know, just the Big 12 and whether the reputation is there or not. It's looked at as an offensive league and whatnot, but this Iowa State defense is just getting better and better. Rose was terrific. Eisworth back there, Bailey, Ryan Vance, heck, name everybody back there, and they're just getting it done right now. What do they need to do besides stop Sam Hellinger? But what else do they need to do this week against Texas?
Yeah, stop Sam Hellinger. That's pretty much it. If you contain Sam Hellinger, you contain the Texas offense. Like I said, he's the leading rusher. I mean, he's scored 7 rushing touchdowns, and the most rushing touchdowns a Texas running back has scored is 2. So Sam Hellinger is their running back as well. He really is their offense. Like, normally, I like your question a lot. What do you have to do besides stop Sam Hellinger? Because normally I could name a running back or something like that. Yeah, you got to watch out for this guy. But really, I mean, and Texas offense isn't one-dimensional either, just because they got one really, really good player. They have quality receivers, obviously, as well. But Sam Hellinger is a true dual-threat quarterback. He'll run it. He'll pass it at any time. And I think Iowa State has improved in their ability to defend dual threat quarterbacks. They contained Spencer Rattler for the most part, the Oklahoma quarterback. They had some trouble with Spencer Sanders against Oklahoma State, but I think for the most part, compared to years past at least, Iowa State has definitely improved in their ability to defend dual threat quarterbacks. I think a lot of that is actually due to Orion Vance there in the middle linebacker. They use him a lot as a spy, and he's definitely athletic enough to stick with most mobile quarterbacks. So I think that's helped him a lot. And, I mean, Iowa State's defensive line right now is as playing as anyone and as good as anyone in the Big 12.
Yeah. And what are you expecting in Austin? Myself, I think the more points are scored, I think it favors Texas. If it's a little bit more of a lower scoring game, I think it's going to favor Iowa State. Not only that, but also now with the news that Oklahoma is not going to play West Virginia, I mean, that throws something into the whole mix as well for the, you know, you hope Iowa State comes away with a win and doesn't have to worry about tiebreakers, but now we've got something in there.
Yeah, no doubt. And I was really interested to see, to go to this first, really interested to see that West Virginia-Oklahoma game, just because I want to see how West Virginia stacks up against a really high-quality team. Because before the season, I thought West Virginia was going to be not good. I thought they were going to be down there with Texas Tech and stuff, but they've obviously really turned it around in year two of Neil Brown. So I wanted to see them against a high-quality opponent, but I guess I'll have to wait for that. But going back to the Texas-Iowa State game and what I'm expecting from that, I think I agree 100% with you. If this game gets high scoring, if it's a shootout, that definitely, I think, favors Texas. But what was interesting, we talked to Jake Hummel, Iowa State's other linebacker besides Orion Vance and Mike Rose this week, and someone asked him about Texas 2 years ago in 2018. And that was a time Brock Purdy was 5-0, coming in as a quarterback in relief for Zeb Noland. And he was playing really well. Iowa State was in position to play for a Big 12 championship. They weren't first. They weren't anything like that. But they, if they won out, they're going to be in the Big 12 championship. And Iowa State lost to Texas 24-10. And Jay Cumble and Matt Campbell both said, at that time, we were just so young. Matt Campbell said, essentially, we were babies. We were so young. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know how to handle it. And we weren't able to seize the moment. But what Jay Cumble said this week, what I thought was really interesting, is like, right now I feel no anxiety. Right now we're just going out and having a lot of fun, and we're just going to play football. And I think that's definitely a new mindset for Iowa State, because in years past, you could see some of that tension on the field. You could see some of that apprehension. So if they're able to go out there and play how they're supposed to, and Matt Campbell was asked as well, if he has sensed a heightened sense of urgency this week. And he's like, no, I haven't actually. Our players have done exactly what they're supposed to do, and I don't want them to change one bit what they're supposed to do. I think that was evidence against Kansas State. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. There's nothing that they needed to change. So keep that same mindset, keep that same approach against Texas, and, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Over 100 years since Iowa State has won a conference championship, and that could all change. And that was going back to the Missouri Valley. The old Missouri Valley. So this could be a pretty historic Friday. Even keep in mind, though, still a game with West Virginia coming up. So
got one with West Virginia. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, Ben, appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. You guys, too. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right. Ben Visser from the Cedar Rapids Gazette covers the Iowa State Cyclones, joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:35. 5:24 remaining in the first half. Iowa having a little trouble with North Carolina Central. They are shooting it well from the perimeter, but Iowa has now gone on a little mini run. Hawkeyes lead it by 7 at 31-24. That is the score, again, with a little bit over 5 minutes remaining in the first half of play. So got you caught up with what's happening. Keegan Murray getting some early playing time with the Hawkeyes as well. That's good to see.
Yeah. He gave Iowa a lift off the bench, and so did Patrick McCaffrey. McCaffrey has 8 points and two or three boards here in the first half and is really looking good, crashing the boards, making some slashing moves to the basket. And those two players have come off the bench and given Iowa a spark.
Yeah, and Patrick, with all the length that Iowa has, when Patrick is in there, Iowa's going to go full court pressure, zone pressure, pretty much all the time. So I think opponents are going to get ready for that. We'll see. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Chris List of RotoWire.com to answer your fantasy football questions. Brought to you by I'm On Communications. It's coming up next on KGYM.
COVID-19 cases are rising rapidly in our community.
Please do your part to slow the spread and keep our hospitals from becoming overwhelmed.
You can help by wearing a mask in public.
Clean your hands frequently with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizer.
Stay home and seek virtual care when sick.
Avoid group gatherings.
With a recent increase in cases and winter months coming, now is the time to slow the spread of COVID-19.
Thank you for doing your part.
Presented by Unity Point Health St. Luke's and Mercy Cedar Rapids.
Bergen KDV is excited to support the community through the ICR Strength Partnership. The business, financial, and technology solutions offered by the local teams go beyond technical expertise so that your business can grow, thrive, and scale into the future. Experience a true partnership from the ground floor to the boardroom. Bergen KDV. It's not a service, it's a feeling. Learn more at bergenkdv.com.
Where is your haircut gone? We know you don't get out as much, you don't drive by your regular sport clips and pop in for that MVP haircut experience that is so much more than a haircut. But isn't it worth getting out for? For that legendary hot steam towel for your face, massaging shampoo that makes you melt into your seat. Oh man, you remember that, right? We found your haircut. It's right where you left it. Sport clips. It's good to be a guy.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Iowa starting to open it up. It's 38-24 with about 3 minutes to go in the first half. Iowa and North Carolina Central going at it. Our thanks to Ben Visser from the Cedar Rapids Gazette for joining us. Covers the Iowa State Cyclones. Iowa State and Texas coming up on Black Friday right here for you on KGYM. Want to remind you that each Friday, speaking of Fridays, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, their 5 o'clock hour is driven... is Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Check them out at KGYMradio.com for more details. Time to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. If you have a fantasy football question, take a moment away from the game and let us know about it. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. 319-366-1600. As Chris joins us here, and happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, Chris.
You too, Scott. Appreciate it.
How is what does Thanksgiving consist of overseas where you are?
Well, you know, they don't care about it. It's not their holiday, but there's a bunch of American expats, and usually we'll end up spending the holidays with them. A couple years, a friend of ours was working for the State Department, so. I was there, and then this year we've got another family that's from Philly, so we're going to hang out with them. But, you know, obviously this year it's small. It's not going to be a big party, but, you know, it's going to be nice. We're going to have a turkey and all that. So what about you?
Very small, very small. So you're going to get – let me get this straight. A Giants fan is going to have Thanksgiving in Portugal with a Philadelphia Eagle fan.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're not big Philly. I mean, the dude is a Philly fan. I won't say he's not, but he's not. They're not as into football as I am. Let's just say that. Musicians. These guys are musicians.
Oh, well, there you go. So we're not going to have like cranberries thrown against the wall, mashed potatoes flailing, and things like that.
It depends if the drinks start flowing and people start talking politics, maybe, but probably not about football.
Hey, Chris, not on anybody's menu Thursday night. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. What do you, the game moved to Sunday, obviously. Any fantasy impact there?
I mean, you know, guys like Juju, who was banged up, might be healthy. You know, who knows if he could have played Thursday, but he gets 3 more days to heal. There's still Ravens guys. We're not sure who has COVID, right? I think that Dobbins and Ingram are out, and so Gus Edwards is the guy, but there's probably some other guys we're not even sure about. And just keep in mind, and just keep this in mind, that they postponed it to Sunday because they realized they couldn't pull it off Thursday, but I wouldn't be shocked if they couldn't pull it off Sunday, and they really don't want to postpone any further. There's no more buys left. I think Carolina and one other team has a bye next week, but you know, there's not a lot of runway left to land on in the season.
Yeah. Well, Juju Smith-Schuster was very outspoken on Twitter earlier on today against the NFL, taking umbrage with the fact they took away their bye week, and now they're making him play, rearranging the schedule, and it's not in Pittsburgh's favor, not really in Baltimore's favor, because they've got a short week the week after, I believe. So this is it's not the prettiest thing, but it's 2020 for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad because, let's say, if Baltimore plays next Thursday, I'm not sure they do, but then normally they would rest the first, you know, Monday, Tuesday. You don't practice if you have a Sunday game. So, but they already practiced, and now they got to practice again, and then they got to play, and then they got a short week. And Pittsburgh, their bye week, they had practiced a couple of days before it was announced that it was a, you know, ad hoc bye, and now they were supposed to get the days off. Tomlin was going to give them Friday, Saturday, Sunday off after Thanksgiving, and of course, well, they got to practice Friday, and they got to get ready for the game Saturday. So, it's unfair, but you know, yeah, as you said, 2020 is what it is.
Yeah, is what it is out there. You have a question for Chris? Let us know at 319-366-1600. That's a text line available to you. Fantasy Football Talk right now at 319-366-1600. Mark.
Chris, you're familiar with most leagues and the rules and whatnot. What's going on with Taysom Hill? He's just eligible at quarterback now. What happens when Drew Brees comes back or Winston starts? Is he eligible at tight end? What's the deal on Taysom Hill?
So ESPN got into some trouble because they had him as a tight end, because I guess based on where he lined up in the formation, that was the most resembled the tight end. And they had signed Winston, so they weren't too worried about him getting the job. And so people started him at tight end. Now, I mean, that's a huge advantage, right? I mean, you get a guy who can run for a couple of touchdowns, throw for 250 yards at tight end. You're just, it's just like a huge, huge advantage. And so then ESPN figured, well, that's too cheap. You know, we don't want people winning their league just because they picked up Taysom Hill. So they changed him back to quarterback. And then people are in uproar about that. Like, hey, you can't do that midstream. Apparently they said they would if, so they're having problems. I would have left it because, it is what it is, and you got to leave it alone. But I think most services had him as a QB, so they don't have this problem. I think as a QB, he's pretty useful because of the running. He's kind of like Tebow, but maybe a little bit better and definitely in a better system. And so he's startable. But just watch out for one thing, because I had a guy on who made this point on the show today. Thought it was a really good point. Remember that Peyton didn't announce that it was Hill and not Winston until, like, you know, Saturday. Friday or Saturday, and the who was it they played? The Falcons had like no time to prepare to make this, to prep for a weird quarterback like Taysom Hill. I wouldn't be that surprised if they put in Winston a lot this week, just switched it up while the Broncos are preparing for Hill, who's a totally different kind of quarterback, and get him a more traditional pocket passer. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that just be wary, because it would be a it wasn't an accident that Peyton didn't announce it till late in the week, I would say.
Yeah. Chris, I'm very intrigued by the fact that another 21st century deal is coming about here right now. Of course, now with Tua being taken out of the game last week, now the Dolphins should never have taken Tua Tagovailoa. They should have taken Justin Herbert. What were they thinking? Tua's career is now over. What are the Dolphins going to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, the Dolphins, I think that was the right move, and I do think Fitzpatrick probably gives them a better chance to win right now. And they're in the playoff hunt, so they wanted to get back in that game. I think Tua's still going to start. They don't want to undermine him too much. But Brian Flores is in kind of a delicate position, right? But you're right. If they knew what, you know, we could see Herbert now, he would have been, you know, he and Burrow would have been 1-1. Obviously, it's horrible what happened to Burrow, but bad luck and horrible coaching and management by Cincinnati, giving him no offensive line. But, like, yeah, I mean, it would have been Burrow 1 or Herbert 1 and Burrow 2 or vice versa. And that would have been, you know, if we knew that Herbert was this good, I mean, there's no way he lasts till 6.
True. And just been absolutely outstanding. And you mentioned Joe Burrow. That was just a shame. And if you have any Bengals right now, I mean, myself, I took Boyd out of the lineup. I just don't see his stats being what they have been throughout the year. And would you agree on that as far as Bengals are concerned?
Yeah, I think they're all going to take a hit. Boyd is the one who might take the least because, well, first of all, Gio now has a concussion. Mixon's out. Someone's got to do something. And since Boyd is sort of the reliable possession guy, you know, he may still catch 6-7 passes. I mean, someone's got to catch a pass. They're not going to complete, you know, 5 passes. They'll probably complete 15 or 20 at least. Someone's got to catch those. So Boyd might be the only one, but yeah, it hurts. You know, Burrow's really good, and now they've just got a kind of a scrub that they brought up. So it's, I would bench him if you got a good alternative for sure.
Chris, Jonathan Taylor had a really nice game last weekend. Do we trust him going forward?
I think trust is a strong word, Mark, but I think we're hoping. You know, every week, you know, it's he and Ronald Jones. I have both those guys in a bunch of leagues, and it's like they can just seems like you can trust them, and then they can't put together 2 games in a row. So it's a good sign. A guy who writes for RotoWire, Mauro Puig, pointed out that it took him a little bit to get going in Wisconsin once he figured it out. And now he's just figuring out how to run in a little bit different setup than he had in Wisconsin, and that, you know, without the preseason, maybe things were delayed a little bit. But he thinks it's just a matter of when, not if, when he gets it. And he said he's getting close. So maybe he's going to be big down the stretch.
Is there a way to stop the other teams from scoring against you at will every single week? I know there isn't.
Your virtual defense is bad?
It's terrible. Terrible. Everyone seems to have their great week when they see my name across the way.
Yeah, you got to draft a better virtual defense. That's what you got to do. It's tough. You know, it's very important, though, I have to tell you.
Yeah. Tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. Tongue-in-cheek right there. 319-366-1600. A couple more minutes here with Chris Liss of rotowire.com as Iowa's gotten to halftime. So if you have a fantasy football question, love to hear from you out there. And a little bit bigger than myself with the minor trade today of Henderson for Hardman. So I don't think you need to take 5 minutes and break that one down, Chris.
No, I won't. But Sammy Watkins practiced in full, just so you know.
Yes, I know. I know. I had a glut of very the same running backs. So, and now with Boyd probably not going to get a lot of touches, I felt it was time to get.
I still like Mecole Hardman. Let the guy play. Turn him loose.
I agree. You
know, the guy's a playmaker. Let him see what he can do. But they like Watkins. You know, when Watkins plays, he gets a lot of targets.
Bless your heart, 93-55. Standard League, CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson?
I got to go Jefferson. He's just been too good.
Vikings were terrible last week.
Yeah, you know, Dallas looked like an NFL team for once. You know, they just looked like such a joke since Dak got hurt. And then the defense got a pass rush. They, you know, until the fourth quarter, they played decently. And Zeke, the offensive line blocked a little bit. Zeke ran well. Pollard had a big, long touchdown run. It's kind of like the Jets, but not quite as bad. You know, the Jets, like, they're bad still, but they look like a team. Like, they look like a bad NFL team, and Dallas look like an average NFL team. So I still think Justin Jefferson's going to get his.
Chris, any matchups you particularly like this week aside from the Packers defense?
Yeah, the Bears, man. I actually had Trubisky in a 2QB league. I picked him up, but yeah. I mean, I like the Giants going against the Bengals. They may run it too much because, you know, they're not going to get a lot of opposition, but I think Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton, those guys are in pretty good spots. We'll see how much they throw, but at least it's an advantageous matchup. You know, the Thanksgiving game between the Lions and the Texans should have some decent scoring. You know, Watson is obviously on a nice roll, and guys like Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. And on the other side, Marvin Jones is Kenny Galladay's out. And so Marvin Jones may get a lot of targets.
Yeah, see how it goes. All right, Chris, enjoy Thanksgiving with the Philly fan. And we hope if you can make it through that, we'll talk to you coming up next Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll try to survive that. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great Thanksgiving also.
All right. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us. And check them out at rotowire.com. They've got some great stuff right there. And, of course, Chris's appearance brought to you by the good folks at Imon Communications. Wedge weighing in on the text line, being a lifelong Dolphins fan. I have never liked the Tua pick. We were talking about Tua a little bit ago. Lefty quarterbacks don't translate well, and especially an injury-prone lefty who comes from a pro team playing college football. And he would have taken Justin Herbert, Wedge would have, the way it sounded. He said, name the last great Ohio State, Alabama, USC, Florida quarterback in the NFL. I put Carson Palmer to him.
I think Steve Young would disagree with that statement, but it's a point well taken. I can't think of a lot of lefties have had a lot of success. Hey, Tim Tebow won 7 straight games, didn't he?
Well, true. Didn't do it in the long term, though. But yeah.
Tannehill from Alabama?
No. Nope. Texas A&M.
I'm sorry.
Texas A&M. Yeah. All right, 3:53. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap things up on Wednesday pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Brought to you by AbbVie.
For the one standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Where is your haircut gone? We know you don't get out as much. You don't drive by your regular sport clips and pop in for that MVP haircut experience that is so much more than a haircut. But isn't it worth getting out for? For that legendary hot steam towel for your face, massaging shampoo that makes you melt into your seat. Oh man, you remember that, right? We found your haircut. It's right where you left it. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. NFL football coming up tomorrow. Iowa State and Texas on Friday before the boom on Friday as well coming your way. And then weekend long, we've got football and a little bit of basketball. The Iowa State men will tip off on Sunday. The Iowa State women with a win earlier on today over Omaha. And caught a little bit of that as well. Wanted to see Sarah Schmidt, the former Cedar Rapids Prairie product, play. Started today for Omaha, so that was good to see over there. And a whole lot more. You can check out KGYMRadio.com. for your broadcast schedule. Again, you heard from May City Bowl, our terrific sponsor of Bowling Night in America, and hoping to get that back up and running sooner than later, but it will not be before December the 10th mark, so no bowling again tonight. The pre-Thanksgiving edition of Bowling Night in America will not happen in 2020.
Nope, we're taking a pause, that's for sure, but last I heard, May City Bowl is still entertaining open bowling, and the pro shop opens. So if you have any needs in that regard or wants, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yeah, I'd love to have you out there. And if any of the Rusty Nails would like to go out and practice, I, as captain, am all for it.
Take the lead on that, dude.
I should after the last 3 weeks, but everyone's going to be a little rusty, no pun intended, as we get ready to go back to bowling. And we hope we can go back to bowling as well. So Iowa up at halftime, I believe by 15 over North Carolina Central. You and I with an early lead over Western Kentucky. That going on in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Winner of that game between you and I and Western Kentucky is going to get Memphis. They were very impressive in their victory over a very good St. Mary's team earlier on today. So We'll see how it all plays out, but A.J. Green off to a good start there for the UNI Panthers, and hopefully they can come through with a win over a pretty good Western Kentucky program.
Yeah, a lot of interesting viewing and listening this weekend. Scott, I'm taking Steph Curry and Peyton Manning over Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley, okay?
I forgot about that.
And I'm not paying a dime to watch Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.
I want to see the shot tracker on Barkley. That's all I want to see. That's the only thing I'm interested in. Because that'll
should
be fun.
Hilarious.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Stay safe. And we will be back with you with local programming starting at 3 on Monday with the gym class. Mike Colas will join us. We'll talk Iowa, Nebraska, Iowa State, Texas. We're going to know a lot more about college football in the state after this particular weekend. Have a good Thanksgiving, Mark.
Have a good holiday, Scott, and everyone. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right. You've been listening to the gym class right here on KGYM.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities.